Welcome to the Merrill Hodge Find a Way podcast. We're going to stay with the headlines, what was in the media. One of the headlines that really struck a chord with a lot of people was 110 out of 111 brains looked at by Boston University, former NFL players, had CTE. Walk me through what was said in the paper, the article that was in the media. Let's address that first. Then we'll go to what was really said in the scientific paper. Keep in mind, the people that are quoted in the media are the exact same people who wrote the scientific paper. Dr. Cummings, 3-board-certified neuropathologist, forensic professor out of Boston University. Walk us through it, my friend.
This paper scared a lot of people, scared a lot of parents. I hear about this paper every single time I talk about football with a parent or even coaches. Everybody is afraid of this paper. Not because they've read it, but because they've seen the headlines that were generated by the paper. One of the things that you'll come away with from the media narrative of this is that 99% of football players have CTE. So it means my kid plays football, is a 99% chance he or she is going to get CTE. And that's not accurate. It's not true. A couple quotes that stuck out in my mind historically about this paper with comments like, I really feel at some level every football player has this. More directly, the fact that we were able to gather so many instances of a disease that was previously considered quite rare in 8 years speaks volumes. There's just no way that would be possible if this was a truly rare disease.
Okay, now that's Anne McKee quoting that. I can't even think of how irresponsible that is. Because listen, just from common sense, when I read the article, okay, from a player, I'm starting to think, well, listen, 111 is not the total number of former NFL players. There's like over 27,000, number one. And if you're going to say and conclude every level of football, there's literally hundreds of millions who have played. Even if it was 110, and still, I still question what those brains look like of the 110 because nobody else gets to look at them but Anne McKee and her, their little group. They won't let other people look at them. So I always question it until other people start to be a part of the process. I don't even know how you come up with that based on the numbers that you have to include once you say that. That to me, as I read it, I was like, how do you say that with the hundreds of millions of other people that have played this game at every level, especially when she linked it to almost every level of football?
There's a number of issues here, and you have to really look at how the study was conducted to be able to say whether or not you can make those sort of assertions about something. This thing was really what's called a selection bias or a referral bias, and bias doesn't mean a negative thing, like I already have a preconceived idea. It means that these are people who had a disease, I think they have the disease, so I'm only going to look at their brains. And in science, that's acceptable in the right circumstances.
But people need to understand what that means. You've said this many times. It's like going into Alzheimer's brain bank and looking just those brains.
Okay? Right, and that's how it happened. Because people, if you think that these people have, how we've refined the idea of Alzheimer's disease. I have a group of people, I think they have Alzheimer's disease. I'm going to bring them into my study, I'm going to look at their brains, and guess what? I find out 99% of them have Alzheimer's disease. No kidding. But what does that tell you about the number of people out there that may have Alzheimer's disease? Nothing. What does it tell you about your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease? Nothing. So you have to be very careful on how you use this information to come up with those important epidemiological statistics. You cannot.
With ethics, I agree. I completely agree with you. With really an ethical person should be careful. You should never use the language that has been used in that article. What else in the article, you know, kind of struck you as alarming and probably struck whoever read it alarming?
In the news?
Yeah, the news. Let's stay with the news unless you're ready to move on to the science.
Yeah, that was about it. I mean, just the amount of fear. It was showing up everywhere that 99% of football players have CTE.
Right. Okay.
And people come away with that conclusion.
The impression that that's true.
And it's scary.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about our kids, and we don't want our kids to develop this disease. And
Amen.
It's scary.
That's exactly right. I wouldn't have let my son play had I thought for 2 seconds that was a possibility. Okay, now that being said, that was in the media. Those are the quotes of Anne McKee in the media. Now, walk me through what it says in the scientific paper written by Anne McKee. What is quoted in there, and what are the things that stand out in the scientific paper that absolutely contradict the things we have just talked about that were quoted in the media?
The first thing that sticks out in my mind was what's said at the very end of the paper, and that usually at the end of a scientific paper is where you talk about your weaknesses of your study and things that need to be done, limitations to the approach you use, different things to say, hey, we found something, we think it's interesting, but here's some things that may have confounded that, maybe not make it quite as strong of an association as we think.
Now, before you get to that, why would you do that in a scientific paper? Because you have to
what?
Exactly. You have to, because the people that are going to read this are going to hold you up to a scientific standard. They're not going to publish it.
That's a whole other question right. about peer review. We right. can talk well, about it later.
That's garbage, yeah. too,
we
in
can talk
some
about
ways.
That at another point.
But you have to do this in a scientific
you have
format.
To. You have to do your limitations. Kind of you have right. to. At the very end of this paper, it says, and this is really important, caution must be used in interpreting the high frequency of CTE in this sample. And estimates of prevalence cannot be concluded or implied from this sample. And prevalence means how many cases are out there. So you can't run around and say, I really think that every football player on earth has this.
It's exactly what she did. And I'm hoping that it should be disturbing to anybody who listens to this podcast who has been driven by the headlines, and a mass majority have. And if they have been intuitive enough to go get the paper and read it and balance their thought process and calm themselves down, going, okay, well, here's the real truth. Again, the headline obviously lies. You know, there's no truth to this headline. And then Anne McKee writes it. She knows exactly what. It says caution. You can't use this. And that's exactly what she does. She does the opposite of that. And I can't tell you how disturbing that is, and that people must understand. This isn't like there's two scientific papers and we're arguing.
This is not my opinion.
This is not Dr. Cummings' opinion. It's not his paper. It's their paper. Boston University and McKee's paper. And then their quotes in the media that completely contradict what they have said in their scientific paper. That is bothersome. That is disturbing. To me, that is evil to do those kind of things. And I go back to, and I'll say this many times, because I just think when a medical person signs the Hippocratic Oath, they go through all of that work to do no harm. There's a reason they ask them to do that. And I think there's a reason they have you sign that. You have a responsibility to not do that to the general public, to people that you care for or supposed to care for. To not do that. And it's deliberately being done. These papers are on the website. You can clearly read them, so you can...
Well, that's the problem.
We're not telling you.
A lot of people aren't going to go read these papers.
Oh, there's
you're going
to
see it on your Twitter feed or wherever. You're going to see that headline, 99% of football players.
Right.
And I asked the question, tell me about that, what you know about that paper. And they'll quote something that they've read out of what a media source du jour.
Right.
And well, listen.
But that's not the scientific paper.
It's not the paper. And then if you... I don't know if you want to get into the weeds of this, but when you start talking about the population itself and some of the other things in this paper that don't make it quite as strong, which is why you have that disclosure at the end that you can't make estimates or imply estimates of prevalence, then you're like, really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, reading these papers is hard, and they're hard to find. They're hard to get. Mom and dad don't have time to do it. Coaches don't have time
Very
to
true.
Do it.
That's why we
and
do these podcasts.
That's why we do them. And it took me a long time to sort through this stuff. You know, before you and I met, I've been working on this for years. It took me years to figure this out.
That's why the great value of these podcasts and this information. That's why we're going to have the scientific papers on the website. You can look them up, read them yourself. We're transparent here. It isn't like it's our paper versus their paper. Scientific papers there for you to read. Hopefully this podcast has helped you understand the differences from what the headlines are saying and what the media says versus what the scientific paper really says. Thank you for listening to the Merrill Hodge Find a Way podcast.